Book of Isaiah, chapter 60. Isaiah 60, just a few verses here. Isaiah prophesied to his time, to the circumstances of the days that he lived in. He prophesied in the future concerning, and there's several of his prophecies related to the Messiah and Jesus stepping on the scene. And then he even prophesied even further into the future, looking into the last days, the days that you and I are living in right now. And that's what these verses here are, a prophecy related to the Gentiles. You and I are part of that group. And to these last days, a direct message to us. Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Let's pray. Father, we just look to you tonight because we know, Lord, that without you, we are nothing. We can't say anything of any benefit or blessing at all unless you come. We ask for your anointing to rest upon your word and upon this service and our time around the altars here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The prophet Isaiah, he saw this future time that you and I, miraculously, he was able to see into the future and see a time that you and I are living in right now. He saw darkness upon the earth, even gross darkness. These are our days. These are the times that you and I are living in right now. Days of darkness, spiritual darkness. Spiritual darkness, gross darkness. These are the days that you and I are living in. Darkness, almost everywhere in the scripture, it relates to spiritual darkness, spiritual ignorance. And then light, almost exclusively, it relates to enlightenment. It relates to the truth. And when God begins to reveal himself and shine into the darkness. Amen. So as Christians, all of us, we are wanted, we are needed, and the scripture here says that that light is to shine in these last days and dispel the darkness. Now, I'm sure that most of you relate to this, but much of what is going on in our world today, it's beyond my ability to even comprehend it. I know I'm not that old. I couldn't be that old. But I have to tell you that much of what is going on in our world today, it is so extreme. It's so far away from where I live, I grew up, and my understanding of God and the things of God and the things that are important. And now we are faced with a time that Isaiah saw, gross darkness, a people blinded, a people so blinded, they not only can they not see the message of the gospel. As a matter of fact, it's utterly rejected. I've read where there are certain businesses that have made statements like, Christians aren't welcome here. Starbucks being one of them. Target being another one. Christians aren't, we don't really want Christians here. We don't want them to patronize us. And so we find ourselves almost in a place of being in a smaller and smaller minority when you look at the darkness of the world that we live in right now. If you believe in the Bible, especially if you believe it's an infallible word of God, you're an extremist. You're you're in some position that the world don't understand why you would ever believe that, or why you would believe the Bible. Why would you take a position and stand upon the authority of God's word? Darkness is swallowing up. Isaiah saw it all those hundreds of years before. He saw this generation, and darkness is swallowing up this generation. People are in darkness. Young people are in darkness. And many are moving further and further away, are like so blinded to the truth that they can't see it, comprehend it. And there's this antagonism, hatred toward the truths of God's word. Anything that has to do with God and the God of the Bible, this is a generation that hates it. Isaiah saw this time. But that's not all he saw. Because he starts off by saying, arise, shine, for thy light is come. There's only one way to deal with darkness, and it's light. Light. And that's who we are. That's what revival is. Revival is when the light of truth and the light of the Spirit of God begins to illuminate the hearts and the lives of people, and even begins to have an effect upon those outside of the church, causing them to say, I need God, I need God, I need the Lord, and I need to find a church. I need to find somewhere where I get to God. And that's what light can do. Not only does it dispel the darkness, but light, it wakes up the church. Arise. You know, you can wake up, and that's a good thing to wake up. But even more important than waking up is getting up. Amen. So the church, because of the light of truth, because of a move of God, and I know that that many of you probably sense what I have been sensing for the last several weeks here in our church, but I sense a presence of God. I sense God moving in our services, God working around the altars, God ministering to a lot of people. I see people coming into the services, a lot of different people coming in to the services, and I'm convinced people that have needs, people that are hungry, and they're sick of sin. They're tired of the darkness of this world, and they're looking for answers. They're looking for help. And so Isaiah prophesied about this time, and he said, we need to awaken and see that right now is the time to shine bright in this generation. Sure, darkness is everywhere, and it seems to be swallowing up everything in this generation. And the only answer is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that begins to shine bright in this dark world. That we're not ashamed, and but we are rather bold to stand up and to proclaim the glory of the Lord. Arise and shine. It just means get up and start allowing your life, your testimony, and the work of the Spirit in your life to begin to affect people around you. Impart light. Touch others. Even though the darkness is everywhere, when you step on the scene as a born-again Christian, Jesus in your life, the Spirit of God in your life, there's darkness everywhere. But when you step on the job and you move into that situation where there's nothing but darkness and wickedness that seems to be so prevalent there, but when you step in and you begin to be the person that God has called you to be, arise and shine, because there is a light, and that light is the gospel. That's really what this text is talking about. It's talking about the message of the gospel being available in this generation to be the answer to all of the darkness that is around us. Amen. Glory to God. And so the darkness, we know it's there. We know it's all around us, and it seems to be, you know, it's wickedness, it's evil, and we just kind of shake our head and wonder, what's next? What are people going to do next? How far away from God are they going to go, further and further away from the things of God? We could spend all of our time cursing the darkness, but really the gospel that's been made available to us. And Isaiah said, what needs to happen is that we need to arise and we need to shine in this generation. For the light has come. The message of the gospel has come. And aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful for the day you heard about Jesus and for the message of the truth of the gospel that affected your life and changed you for the glory of God? This light in your life is the only hope of this generation. Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify the Father. Amen. Let the world see that there is a reality to your experience in the Lord. Let the world see we need to arise and shine. The gospel message has come to this generation. And I just believe that, yeah, it's dark and it's getting darker and darker. But when sin abounds, the Bible says grace much more abounds. And so it doesn't matter how bad or how dark or how awful things might be getting. God is sufficient for these times. He's sufficient for right now, 2018, when things are so twisted and so opposite of the things of God. When there's just confusion everywhere, the gospel can break in on the scene and bring light. So we need to arise. We need to understand the opportunity that we have right now to see God working and moving right now in our midst. Praise God. And so let's trust the Lord. Let's believe God. For the light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Amen. There is such an experience in God. Like some of these young people are being filled with the Holy Ghost, that have been filled, some that have been filled and seeking to be filled in the last several weeks here. There is such an experience in the Lord that the glory of the Lord can be in your life and on your life. And your testimony can have a power and an influence. Everywhere that you go, it can touch the lives of people in this very, very dark, dark time. But we need to arise. We need to awake. We need to wake up. We need to get up. We need to realize that the opportunity that we have and allow the glory of the Lord that's resting upon us to give us the power to make an impact upon our world. Glory to God. For behold, the darkness covers the earth, gross darkness. But the Lord shall arise upon thee. Who's he talking to? This Gentile nation, this people that can hear the gospel and receive the gospel like you and me. This glory of the Lord can rise upon us and cause the glory of the Lord to be seen upon you. Amen. I believe you can get close enough to the Lord and walk with the Lord that they'll know. When you come in contact with them, even without a word, they're going to say to you, are you a Christian? Do you serve the Lord? Do you go to church? They're going to know there's something different about you. There's a touch of God. There's a glory of God, even a glow of the presence of God on you. And the world is going to know. Let me tell you, out there is a lot of darkness, but there's a lot of emptiness and a lot of hunger. People are hungering for the things of God. They need answers. They want help out of the mess. Sin is a hard taskmaster that's got people so twisted up, their lives so messed up, it doesn't seem to be an answer. And they can't get out of the darkness. But there ought to be, and this ought to be a place where there's a whole lot of light shining. Amen. When they come in to the house of the Lord, that the presence of God is here, the light of the gospel is shining. And they come in and they recognize, I can get help here. I can get help in this place. In the presence of the Lord and around these altars, I can get help. Glory to God. The Gentiles, verse 3, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light and kings to the brightness of all thy rising. There's just an attractive traction to the things of God whenever we have an experience of God. Revival is when new life has come into the church to such a degree that now the world recognizes it. The world can see it. It's not just something that's happening to us. when we come to church. But we've got a hold of something that's so powerful in our life. It's so real in our life. And now there's a new life and a new joy and a new touch of God upon our lives. And now people are attracted to that. Amen. And I pray often, I've prayed over the years often, Lord, when they drive by right out here on Main Street, when they drive by the church, Lord, would you speak to their heart? Lord, would you draw them into this building? Lord, would you, and I know we have an obligation and a calling to go out there and witness and go out into the world. I understand we have the call of God to do that, but I also know that the Spirit of God can get a hold of the hearts of people out there and draw them in to the house of God. Amen. And that there would be a revival spirit that would begin to become so mighty and so powerful but that happens when the glory of the Lord is resting upon the saints of God. When you're walking with the Lord and you're filled with the Spirit and you're available to be used of the Lord, then God can use you to shine to this dark world and even cause you to be an attraction to them. Amen. I mentioned this morning, the lesson this morning in Sunday school was Philippians about joy. 19 times joy or rejoicing is mentioned in the book of Philippians. And I mentioned that when I was a young man, just called to preach, and I was going to church all the time. I was just looking for a place to go. I remember that particular summer, almost every evening, I found somewhere to go to church. And most of the time, it was good. It was good to go to those services. But I had a few times when I went in and sat down, and they looked at me like, who are you and why are you here? And they had a gloomy expression on their face. And the preacher even got up in the pulpit and preached on us. I was there with another young preacher, and this one particular pastor got up and preached on us, and he thought we were there to try to date their girls in their church, and so he got up and preached and said, when young men come into the church, I mean, it couldn't have been any, there's only about 75 people there, and we were the only visitors there, it couldn't have been more clearly directed at us, young men come into our church, and they're after our young ladies. And he laid it down, and I did not feel welcome in that place. And I did not ever go back to that place. Do you know that the church ought to be a place where people come and they find people that care about them, that love them? I mean, it doesn't matter what they've been into. It doesn't matter how deep into sin they've been and how messed up their life is. The saints of God just gather around them and pray with them and love them and try to help them to come into the kingdom of God, do all that we can to minister to them, no matter how deep in sin they might be. That's the kind of place that we need to have right here, where the glory of the Lord is upon us and upon our lives, our church, our ministry, and that there's just an attraction to the house of God, to the presence of God. That's what Isaiah saw when he saw this day. He saw the message of the gospel being made available in the midst of an age that was filled with darkness and wickedness. And he saw that the glory of the Lord was going to be enough to dispel the darkness and to give people hope in the midst of all of that darkness. And when that happens, then revival is on the way. Glory to God. Amen. And in all these years, we've said it, and many preachers have stood in this pulpit and said it. God desires and wants to revive his church. He wants to pour his Spirit out upon his church. And he does. And from my perspective, what I sense in my spirit is he's doing some of that. He's doing some of that. He's starting to move. He's starting to work. I'm looking back, especially on Sunday morning, but sometimes Sunday night and Wednesday night, I'm looking back and I'm seeing faces in the crowd. I don't have any idea who they are. I don't know where they've come from. And I'm not going to frown at them. Amen. And you better not either. We're not going to frown on them. And we're not going to be suspicious of them. But instead, we're going to pray and we're going to do everything we can
to usher them into the kingdom of God, because it's the Spirit of God, no doubt, that has drawn them and attracted them to come in to this place. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. When the gospel of Jesus Christ is honored and preached and lived out, then there's an attraction of the world, a longing to have that in their lives. Praise God. So I've sensed, as a matter of fact, my spirit bears witness by the Holy Ghost that the Lord is doing some things. We are seeing some supernatural things happen. We're witnessing some healings and some answers to prayer, even some miracles that the Lord is working and moving supernaturally right here. And so there is a stirring of the Holy Ghost. Hebrews chapter 2. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles, or different kinds of miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Amen. When there's a message in tongues and interpretation in the service, then that confirms the Spirit of God is bearing witness that he's working in this place. He's moving in this place. When someone comes down here to this altar and begins to cry out to God and repent of their sins, then our spirit bears witness that there is something supernatural going on. The Lord is changing lives. When people are getting filled with the Holy Ghost around these altars, then we bear witness by the Holy Ghost that something supernatural is happening, and God is stepping in and he's moving in a lot of wonderful ways. Glory to God. Now, in the early church, it was saturated with people who had life, spiritual life and spiritual power. And today, that's what we're asking the Lord for as a church. Lord, give to us, every one of us, life and power. Give to us, Lord, to a demonstration, or make the work of the Spirit obvious among us, Lord, a demonstration of the Spirit. And we need to ask the Lord, Lord, send revival, send revival, send revival. Send an outpouring of the Spirit of God. Make every believer alive, fresh, with a fresh touch and an anointing of the Spirit of God. And make, Lord, this experience something that is attractive to the world, something that they're longing for, and they see it in you, and they see it in our services, and they want that. They desire to have that same move of God in their life. Hallelujah. That's what the Lord is promising us. That's what he's doing. And right now, we just have a little bit of a rustling going on in the mulberry trees. A little movement that's going on. I'm sensing it. Many of you are sensing it. Presence of the Lord. God is wanting to do some wonderful things. And when he comes into this place and fills us up with spiritual power, and we're all walking in spiritual power, then revival will begin to be something so mightily effective that lives will be touched all around us. Amen. In this community, they're going to be drawn in. Amen. Amen. I can foresee a time when there's going to be more seekers here than they are the regular saints here. What are we going to do with that? That's why you don't need to miss church. That's why you need to be here, because we need everybody. Amen. When they come in, you need to be here, because God is moving. What happens if we have 75 or 80 of the saints, and we have 75 or 80 people that walk in hungry and thirsting for the things of God? We need you to be there. We need you to be in the right here in the middle of what God is trying to do, and allow him to do that. As a matter of fact, I really believe if every service we came, there was some great move of God. Folks were flocking to the altar, being saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Folks were being healed, and there were signs and wonders. Then I think everybody would be saying, I can't go on that vacation, because if I do, I'm going to miss what God's doing. Amen. Now, I'm not anti-vacation. I know everybody needs one. But I don't know that everybody needs 10 or 8. You just need a good vacation and come back. Get in the altars and pray and seek God and believe God. We're a family. We're a body. And we all need to work together. Amen. Don't get mad at me now. It's just the truth. It's the truth. Amen. Let's not be afraid of what God is doing. But I'm convinced that if we begin to see a move of God every time we come together in this place, that the darkness is going to be dispelled. Amen. And we'll start seeing lives turned around for the glory of God. We're already seeing that. And I praise God for what he is doing. But what about you? What about your responsibility? Familiar scripture from Ezekiel 22 and 30. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge. Amen. Stand in the gap. You have a place. It's important. It's important, saint of God, that you be filled with the Spirit. That you be an instrument that God can use. It's important because there is a hedge that needs someone to stand in the gap. To be that prayer warrior. That is that person that is willing to step in there and do all that we can for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Church is a body. We're a unit. We work together. We believe together. We pray together. And we experience revival together. Amen. And let's believe God to do that. Isaiah saw it. He saw it. In way in the future. And you and I have the privilege of experiencing it. If we'll believe God. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, help us to see that you want to arise and you want to shine in this present darkness that's all around us. Lord, there's not one thing we can do about the wickedness and the direction of this world. In our own power, Lord, we're going to fail. But Lord, whenever the work of the Spirit of God is real and alive at work in our church, then, Lord, we're going to shine bright and the world is going to experience the touch of God. Hallelujah. And they're going to come seeking. Amen.